For the ones who work hard to ensure their crew can always go the extra mile, and the ones who get in early so everyone can go home on time, there's Grainger, offering professional-grade supplies backed by product experts so you can quickly and easily find what you need. Plus, you can count on access to a committed team ready to go the extra mile for you. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Hey there! Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Ha! I take my shirt off. Work all day, hustle and pray. Got nowhere to go, got to catch my sugar. My plantation sugar, my plantation sugar, my plantation sugar. Ah, plantain, plantain, plantain.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome back to the Shirtless Plantain Show, the soccer edition. We're back for another week. This is your host, Mitch. I'm here with Mateus, as usual. Hey, Mateus, how's it going?
Doing pretty good. Another beautiful week of W Gold Cup. Another beautiful week of MLS.
Yeah, we can't complain here. It's great. Isn't it crazy that this is technically under MLS's guidelines? This is week three of MLS. Because they considered the Miami RSL game to kick off the season week one, even though it was one game.
You gotta roll out the red carpet, I guess.
Whatever. MLS never does anything right. It's always weird. But before we get into MLS, the U.S. women's national team played, and they took care of business this time. Last week, we talked a lot about the Mexico game. We had a 2-0 loss. It wasn't great. We played Colombia in the quarterfinals, and we looked like the United States women national team, beating them 3-0. Goals from Lindsey Horan, Jenna Knight-Swanger, and Jaden Shaw. What did you think, Mateus, from this dominant performance going on to play Canada in the semifinals?
Yeah, we look better with Germa on the field.
Shocker.
that's the main tactic. I think this team just has, they probably shouldn't need as many scares, as they have had recently, and learning moments, but they're learning nonetheless, it seems like. I think this is a team that's playing a little bit angry, a little bit edgier, a little bit chippier. Trinity Rodden with a little back to fuck up from the Caicedo. I don't know if you saw that gif. Alex Morgan too, poking the ball away from the goalie, trying to get play started again. I think we came in with a lot more energy, I think, and that's going to matter.
Yeah, always great to see. And I mean, you brought up the energy. We were pressing a lot, and it was very effective. Played with a lot of energy, which is what you expect out of what is a pretty young team. Only two established national team members in Horand and Morgan played in this game. And everyone else was pretty young. So it was great to have, and I guess Alyssa Nair as well. She's in her 100th appearance, and she's 35. Even more wild when you look on the other side for Colombia. Linda Caicedo is 19 years old and was making her 100th fucking appearance for her country. What the fuck?
Some of these kids coming up through the women's game and playing so much from an early age. We have a few of those as well, but godly.
Yeah, it's that's absolutely crazy. But great performance from the national team. Really, really good. And hopefully we keep the momentum going against Canada in the semifinals. Let's move on now to just get into MLS. Let's get into the games of week three. And we're going to start in the Great White North in Minnesota. They drew 1-1 with the defending champions. Mateus, talk to me about it.
Yeah, and what's crazy is I don't think I realized this week, but they still don't have the coach they signed from Man United, still Chris Ramsey, I believe.
Yeah.
they're working with Cameron Knowles, and they put out a very scary press against the Columbus Crew. And kind of, I want to say they were kind of the better team for 20, 25, maybe in the first half hour. Sanbin Jeong, a guy who I hadn't paid attention to very much, was very effective throughout the game. Pookie wasn't so great. Caden Clark wasn't so great. But this was like a really complete performance for the first half. And they could have been up at halftime, or at least they definitely earned the nil-nil they went into at halftime. A goal from Kuchin, 59th minute. Kind of, you know, they figured out how to break the press. I think they brought Christian Ramirez on at halftime, I believe. And then it's kind of just having him drop in more, pinging the ball around a little bit more, and led to a Kucho goal. But then Oluwase, 95th minute, 96th minute, with a banger. I think Minnesota United should be proud of themselves. And going forward, like I think when their new coaching staff comes in, they're going to be ready to press, ready to fight, ready to win some games.
Yeah, I mean, getting a result like this against the defending champs when you don't have your permanent head coach yet is not a result to hang your head about. A 1-1 draw is a great result for Minnesota here, and kudos to them. Let's move on now to RSL 3 LAFC nil. And, I mean, you guys know me. It's an RSL game, so I'm going to run agendas. But I like to keep you guys on your toes. So I will not be running any agendas against Fake Salt Lake today. LAFC couldn't play in little bit of weather. There was a light dusting of snow in this game, light dusting, and they couldn't play. They forgot how to play soccer. They saw a little bit of weather, just a tiny bit. They're looking at me. Dean lives in Houston, so he's like, "What do you mean? That was a snowstorm." No, that was a tiny bit of snow. And so Hugo Lloris forgot how to play soccer because he just taught.
I don't live in Houston.
Thank you.
Hugo Lloris let the Spurs take over him and was very, very bad because he can't do it in the elements. Steve Cherundolo was bitching that they shouldn't have played because, once again, they can't do it in the elements. So, you know, if you take an LA team out of sunny Southern California and they forget how to play soccer, it's crazy.
Hugo Lloris looked like one of those like Tour de France like cyclists at the top of the Alps when it's like the worst weather ever, even like Giro d'Italia for my cycling nerds. He looked red cheeks, rosy, sweating, skinny. He looked French as fuck.
Because he couldn't do it in a little bit of weather. Sorry, LA. You know, you gotta deal with that when you come to the Rocky Mountains. Sorry. let's talk about another thrashing that happened on Saturday afternoon. Miami beat Orlando 5-0. Now, before I throw it to you, I just want to say that Orlando has not scored yet to start the season, and they were a lot of people's picks to like win the Shield out of the East, and they have not come out of the gates quick. Mateus, what did you think from Messi and friends absolutely dunking on their South Florida rivals?
What's crazy is that Suarez came out, and he has to score quickly because by the 45th minute, like 60th minute, his knees are gone, right? He's on one knee. That meniscus gave out for the day. And he scored in the fourth minute, like off the bat. Like this game was over after the second goal he scored in the 10th. Like just slick combination play. I guess class never goes away because it was over. I think Orlando was just demoralized completely. Robert Taylor scores in the 29th. Messi comes in for two late goals and had a lot more influence and chances later on. But like Orlando just like doesn't want to be involved. Like that's kind of what it felt like. It's like, all right, game over. Like we're not even, which is crazy because like we know this Miami team will fade, but I think like down the stretch of games. But I think more broadly is that like when they do have the full week of rest, when they're not playing Champions League or Champions Cup midweek, or playing Open Cup or whatever the fuck they're doing. Like if they have the full 7 days to set up and they're healthy, they're going to wreck some people. Now it's going to play out over the course of the season, whether they stay this way. But hey, as long as those knees on Suarez and Messi give out, apparently they traded Yedlin today, right to Cincinnati for a very specific amount of money. Yes. And apparently they're bringing in Sergio Roberto mid-season. So they'll not have a right back for half the season until that happens, but they're getting another one of the game. Like, this seems like very Harlem Globetrotters-y still.
Yeah, I think the projection is that it'll be Gressel and the who's their new midfielder they just brought in, the son of the guy?
Redondo.
Yeah, Redondo. Yeah. So like Redondo will be able to play. They'll probably put Gressel right back. I feel bad for Gressel if that's the case, because I was very impressed with him as a midfielder in this game. I thought he looked really, really good. He connected passes well and had some great through balls that created great chances for Miami. This is now two of the three games that we've seen from Miami this season where I feel like the teams have kind of rolled over. Salt Lake in week one and Orlando this week. I did not – they looked scared of Miami. And if Miami can win games based on aura alone, all power to them. But they probably have the best roster in MLS if they are healthy. Like best, yeah, they have the best player of all time. It's very hard to not have the best roster in MLS. So the biggest question for Miami is how healthy will they be going into the season? Whether you win the first, like Miami last year won their like first three games of the season and then they were fucking terrible. granted, this team is way, way better. I'm not saying that this team is comparable to last year's Inter Miami by any means. But a lot of questions will be had about them until we go down to stretch. Yeah. Let's move on now to Vancouver 1, Charlotte 1. This was a very interesting one. I thought the Caps were a lot better in the first 30. And Charlotte was able to capitalize for their goal on a high press. And then they created a couple other chances on a high press. Dean Smith has these guys running. And it's been pretty effective. And then the Caps equalized in the 49th. And I think it was terrible goalkeeping by Charlotte. He was looking like he was going. It was a very, if you see the goal back, it is a very weird reaction from the goalkeeper. Like he thinks it's going a complete other way and it just kind of skirts under his legs. It's a very strange play. However, he redeemed himself in the second half because he had an immaculate goalkeeper performance in the second half. He earned a point for Charlotte in this game because I don't think Charlotte had any right to get a point out of this game based on how they played in the second half. It was all Vancouver. And it's all credit to their goalkeeper, even though he is the reason they conceded in the first place, which is, you know, you gotta love how sports work, right? let's move on now to Chicago 1, Cincy 2.
Yeah, Chicago has started the season a lot better than I anticipated. Just straight up. Like, I don't think they were... I don't think Cincinnati's fully at the races yet. And after losing Barreal, it's kind of a surprise at the beginning of the season. They're going to take a while to warm up and like sort of figure out what their new midfield sort of looks, or not the midfield, the same with Mwobodo, but like sort of restarting those connections without Brandon Vasquez up top. You know, just in general, integrating Corey Baird. Soldier Field, one thing I noticed as well, looks a lot better. And I think that helps Chicago play a lot better soccer at home. Because until last September, I actually looked this up, is when they replaced the field at Soldier Field. And so like before then, it's just that grass that kept patching up, like especially like in the summer, it just gets dry. Now it's like nicer grass. They can play Shaqiri, fresh start for Shaqiri. Everything looks new. Everything looks like a fresher. I don't think they're going to be a good team, but Brian Gutierrez is growing, is evolving. And they're going to give the teams a little bit of trouble. Bupenza looked really great for Cincinnati this game, scoring the 39th minute. Chicago scores a penalty before the halftime, a whistle, and everything in the second half kind of stays steady for Cincinnati. They had a clean run in. Goal by Robinson, 68th minute, Miles Robinson off a corner. Glad to see him up there being athletic as well, jumping around after his torn Achilles 2 years ago. I think this is what we're going to see from Cincinnati a lot. I think predicting them as champions, that's not going to happen without some gelling happening, with a lot more fluidity in midfield happening, but they can still get by on talent and get by these like sort of mid-table teams.
I am a big fan of the Yedlin signing for them. I think that's going to be a very, very good fit. And also inversely, not only for Cincinnati, but I think for Yedlin. I can't tell you the last time he played in a back five as a wingback. And I think it's finally a time, you know, he was a player that relied on his speed so much when he was like a young player with Seattle or when he first transferred to Tottenham. And he's rarely ever played in a back five, like as a wing back, but I feel like that's probably what fits his skill set the most. And I really like that signing. Do you think that's going to help since he kind of, you know, get it going a little bit? It's veteran leadership too.
I think that for Yedlin specifically, like they need someone in that midfield line of four, right? Between Kubo, right now that started here, it was Kubo, Bucha, Nwobodo, and Powell across the four, right? And Powell's like very similar to Yedlin in that he is like kind of straight line speed, turning and burning. But Yedlin does bring, I think, a little bit more technique. Not that it's like that's his whole game, but he can bring a little bit more ball progression to that midfield where it's just still kind of depending on Lucho dropping in or Bupenza dropping in to like get play circulating. So I think this is an upgrade at a good position for them. I kind of still wonder how they're going to get the ball out of the back. Is it going to be leaning on Miles Robinson to pass? Because Miazga's like fine at that. So it's a like for like on Powell, but we'll see if they change their tactic or they go to him more often to progress the ball down the field. I think that'll be interesting to see.
For sure. All right. Well, the next one was SKC 1, Philadelphia Union 1. This has been an interesting start to the season for Philadelphia. It's now 2 points after two games. You know, Jim Curtin's relying on the kids a lot. They had to get a late equalizer in this game, 98th minute. And it had a lot of controversy. I couldn't for the life of me find where the controversy was. Like, Peter Vermes was like in the ref's face. Did you see what happened prior to the corner?
So my understanding is the refs just made a really bad call, and like it's erased because I think it was so bad that MLS doesn't want it out there because of the ref controversy. So I'm assuming you were looking at the Apple TV replays.
Yeah, I was looking at like the highlights on YouTube, and I think it was left out.
I haven't seen it either, but you got to go back and watch the whole game because this is something where MLS actually put out a memo and be like, "Don't talk about this."
MLS can't stop shooting themselves in the fucking foot. So I genuinely love this league, but they cannot stop shooting themselves in the fucking foot.
So if you go to Matt Doyle's article, who's employed by Apple TV and MLS, right? Obviously, the armchair analyst he publishes every week.
Yep.
It was like, don't like. I'm gonna skip past the reffing controversy and just say Philadelphia needs to play a better game. But I just need to skip past what's bolded to know he was pissed off. He couldn't write about it.
Yeah, that's so great. We love that.
It's a little state censorship going on.
I did think it was kind of fun that I think it was Bedoya that scored for Philly, and he was like right in front of the SKC fans that are like throwing shit at him. Yeah, that's American soccer heritage. Fuck yeah, let's do that. Unfortunate that there was a controversy that led to that goal, but I love fans and players going at it. I think it's great. Good stuff. Let's move on now to St. Louis 2, NYCFZ 0. NYCFZ are another team that has not scored to start this season. Talk to me about it.
It's because they can't. They're too aggressive in the front six, and they can't progress the ball from the back line to the midfield. And James Sands is having an awful start to the season. He was sent off in this one in the second half after two yellow cards. They were already down 1-0 at that point from a really nice passage of play from St. Louis with Celi Pompeo scoring from outside the box, I believe, like really nice goal. He celebrated like crazy. I think this St. Louis City team is learning how to play a little bit nicer around the box, right? Not relying on their press so much, but actually keeping the ball and maintaining. These players are growing a little bit. AZ is like a young player. Durkin came back from Europe and is like gelling into the team. Adeniran, a pickup from Seattle, has been really, really great this season without Jean Klaus. But this, I think, you know, this is really more about New York City being really bad and just not having like the sort of wherewithal, calmness, coaching. It's gonna be time to get rid of Nick Cushing soon, because this team, I'm not gonna say that they're the most talented, but like City Football Group knows how to scout, right? These players have potential to sort of grow into like to display their talent, and they're not going to, because I think they don't know like the passage to play. They don't have any chemistry between them, and some of that has to come from the coach. Like, obviously some of that is just like playing time. And they acquired a lot of talent recently, but I don't think it's evolving in any sort of way that makes sense for them. So kudos to St. Louis to like playing a really nice game, Adeniran for, you know, growing to his role and like really quickly into the season. But it's gonna get ugly for Nick Cushing pretty soon if it stays away from NYCFC.
Yeah, To the other side of New York, or New Jersey, the New York Red Bulls went on the road to the Houston Dynamo. They won 2-1. I think it was very, very deserved from New York. They fought back after going down to the seventh minute. This is all great. I need to talk about Houston's goalkeeper because I noticed something when watching the highlights of this game. This man is a grown fucking man. He has a goddamn Padawan braid.
Yeah, Steve Clark.
What the fuck?
He's old, too. He's like 37. I think his kid might have the same one, too.
Okay, if it's like a cute thing he's doing with his kid, nope. He gets like maybe a pass, but like insane thing for a grown man to
I think he had one. I think maybe his kid has one, but I know he's had one for a while.
That's sicko behavior. What the fuck? 37 years old, you're 30 years too old to be doing that.
Let me double check that.
That's crazy. So that's the biggest thing I want to talk about from this game. But I do think New York played really well. I think they 100% deserved it. Lewis Morgan scored a banger to win it late in the second half. And a good win on the road for New York. Also, the purple jerseys from the Houston Dynamo, they looked great on the field. Good shit. Let's talk about a super exciting one. 0-0, Austin and Seattle.
There isn't much to say about this except for the fact that Seattle's really well coached, right? But they're going to have a really bad time without Pedro de la Vega, who's out now for 6 to 8 weeks, I believe.
Did you get hurt in the LAFC game?
In the Austin game.
Oh, shit.
Yeah, he got subbed off at the 63rd minute. He had a good game up to then. But this was not a very exciting game. Smetsch is coaching this team really well, but they don't have a lot of creators. They don't have a lot of people who can do things. Like, Leo Xu runs in a straight line. Roldan's like a combination guy, but I think he relies on the movement of others a lot. There's not going to be a lot of incisive sort of talent coming from this team. But this is a really... It's definitely like Sounders like dominance, but like not convincing in any way in the final third, right? They're getting their chances from like a lot of number of shots and nothing too crazy on target. What I will say at the end of the game is Ruy Diaz hit a banger off the crossbar. It would have been a sick fucking goal. A nice ball, I believe, was from Josh Atencio from the right half space. And 96 minute, Ruy Diaz crashed it off the crossbar. And that was kind of their chance. Because this was a lot of dominance from Seattle, but not a lot of finishing, not a lot of finesse. And they're going to need to either Jordan Morris to be a bigger presence or someone to step up big time in the midfield creatively, because with Pedro de la Vega, it looked nice, but without him, it was kind of like just huffing it up there and seeing what was going on. So,
yeah, that's really, really tough to lose Pedro de la Vega. He looked really good in his moments against LAFC. No, this isn't exactly the start that Seattle's wanted. Is it 2 points? Or no, sorry, 1 point from two games.
Yeah,
1 point. But, you know, it's March MLS. It can very easily be turned around. I'm by no means hitting the panic button about Seattle, but I think losing De La Vega is going to be an impact.
They needed him to replace almost all of the creative role that Rusnak has been missing so far this season, right? And then obviously Ladero going away, a franchise cornerstone.
Mm-hmm.
Like, he's kind of been the focal point now. And I think that without him, it's going to have to be Vargas stepping up, because Atencio is really just kind of like an effort guy, and Vargas has more of that finesse talent, but he's also a six. So it's going to have to come from somewhere else.
For sure. All right, well, let's move on to a game that I was at. Colorado drew 1-1 with Nashville. And, you know, at a bare fucking minimum, better than last week. Bare fucking minimum, better than last week. But you were only going to go up from a 4-1 loss. This was a frustrating one. And for a lot of the reasons that the Rapids were frustrating last season. Because I felt like we played well, but we didn't win because we lacked finishing. We scored the one goal, and it was off of a terrible own goal by Reggie Cannon, I think. No, Shaq Moore. It was Shaq Moore. That's my bad. I said Reggie Cannon was like, that is fucking wrong. It was Shaq Moore. Terrible own goal. Gave us a 1-0 lead. And you know what? You take those. You know, you're sitting behind it in the fan section, standing section. You're like, yeah, 100%. We're going to celebrate a goal. This is awesome.
It's happening.
And you know, when you're creating chances, when you're putting the ball in the box, those kinds of things happen. That's just the way soccer works. I think we deserved that goal, despite the fact that it was a bad error by Nashville. Because outside of that, there was one moment where Nashville had a decent chance. They had like Moises Bombido had a really, really nice block right in the corner of the goal. And then Zach Steffen had an incredible save. Like upper 90 kind of save. That was really, really impressive. He really shook off that first game because I did not think he was good against Portland, but he was very good in this one. Granted, I don't think Nashville had very much teeth to him. They were missing Sam Surge. They were missing Hani Mukhtar. And they ended up getting one back late in the game from a penalty. I did not see the replay until like the day after. I'm not 100% sure that was a penalty.
It looked weak.
It looked very weak because it was a handball, which I've been on the record on the Shirtless Plantain show. I have no fucking idea what a handball is. I had no fucking idea. But I don't think Jonathan Lewis's hand looked in a supernatural position. Also, I don't think, and this is separate from like whether this should be a penalty or not. I don't think he's gaining an advantage if he does hit his arm, but I don't think that's a way that things are reffed, even though I think it should be, because he's on his own, almost top of the 18, no one's around him for 5 yards, and it like maybe hits his chest, maybe hits his arm. I couldn't really tell by the angle, which means the ref sure as shit couldn't tell from the angle, if that's what he was looking at VAR. And the scab gave it, and Nashville scored it. And we dropped points, and it's unfortunate because we were looking really good. We had a lot of good chances late in the game. I was very, very impressed with Omir Fernandez, who came on for, I think, his first appearance, because I don't think he played against Portland. Yep. He almost scored a really nice goal. Darren Yappe looked really, really good. He put a lot of pressure on Joe Willis and almost created a goal out of it. It was really good. I continually need more from Rafael Navarro, because if we want, his loan is up in July. He is currently taking a DP spot. He has scored one goal for the Colorado Rapids in a competitive game since we got him last summer. If he wants to be our record signing, which is what he would be if we activate his buy clause, he's got to do more. And that extends from scoring goals, because I think he's been okay in possession, but I'm not seeing the effort. I'm not seeing the connection play. Like, there's not a single reason that if the deadline is right now, I'm never going to spend $5 million on Rafa Navarro. Never. Not even once. I'm cutting our losses, and we're going to go try to get Leo Campana or something like that, or try to find some other young striker.
Or give Yappe minutes.
I don't think Yappe can be our main striker. He is still 19 years old. He's still yet to score an MLS goal.
Yeah. So my thing with that is like, are you going to win this season?
I still firmly think that the Rapids can be a playoff team. And I think that should be the goal.
If your goal is to like get top five in the West, like fine. Like I think so. But if you're not, I don't see any problem with like a kid who's, I think, close to physically ready. Like I think Yappe's there, I think physically.
Yeah.
It's just like sort of the finesse and growing into his movement.
Yeah.
I don't see the harm in playing him. I know it's like early in the season be saying that and kind of like not quite punting, but punting. But like if he shows the talent, I think soon, which I think he can, there's potential there. You know, I agree with you that regardless of what he plays or not, if he has come in a replacement or find a replacement that's not Navarro, I think that that would be a bigger folly than playing Yappe. You know what I mean? Spending those $5 million.
I 100% agree. I think Yappe was more impressive, and I think he's going to keep getting chances, especially if Navarro is not impressive. And I think Chris Armas has shown a very clear willingness that he wants to play the youth, especially homegrowns. Ollie Larraz started again, much more impressive than he was against Portland. And I was a little worried by, again, having a lack of a six that we would not have control, but we were able to control the game. And I think part of that is just Nashville just doesn't want the ball at all. They do not want to control a game.
That's another coach that needs to be fired, really. Because Hani Mukhtar, no Hani Mukhtar, like that, whatever's going on there is like a footballing tragedy.
I think you take Hani out of that team and they're like maybe the worst team in the league, which is what we were facing this week. They were toothless. They got a penalty and that's how they scored. But I'm liking the direction in the Rapids. I will say that from an Armas perspective, and I get that this is something that takes time. Presses don't happen overnight, but I was expecting a higher energy and a higher press than what the Rapids have had the first 2 weeks. Granted, it's first 2 weeks. I think that, you know, when you have a lot of new players, you have a new coach, it's going to take a minute for like a coordinated high press to really like come together. And I think that it will happen, but I haven't seen it much so far. So I'm still optimistic about the Rapids despite 1 point through two games, but it's March MLS, you know, everyone's in it. So that's my long section on the Rapids for this episode. I'm going to flip it over to you for San Jose 1, Galaxy 3.
Ooh, San Jose 1, Galaxy 3. Hey, God, let me flip to that because I was looking at the Dallas game, Mitch. I thought you were going to go to that first.
Sorry.
You're good, man. No, but okay. Before I get to the actual match, I just wanted to say something. So, yeah, San Jose goes down, right, 2-0. And I was noticing this. I was watching this live in the 60th minute. And guys, San Jose as a crowd, like still like chanting and cheering a little bit. But this is a rivalry match. Like I get wanting to support your team. I need a little bit more vitriol on the field. I need a little bit more pissed off at your team because you're losing 2-0 to your supposedly your biggest rivals, right? That's a California Clásico.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, like the crowd, we need a little bit more violence. We need a little bit more anger because it was all very supportive and ho-hum. Guys, this is a rivalry game. I need a little bit more anger. Like it's like, yay, we're still going. We're still trying. Go. Like no one was upset at the ground when you're down 2-0. And I think to be a real league, you kind of not that we're not a real league, but like we need a little bit more anger in this. What I will say about the game in general, like, okay, so LA Galaxy 3, San Jose 1, Joseph Pansel for LA Galaxy is already maybe the signing of the season. A guy who's been like a lot of talent to go really direct up the line, able to combine with Yovlich, who's showing out the season. This Galaxy team, it looks really quite nice. Really quite nice. Really well put together. I think thoughtful, too, in like getting Yoshida and Yamane to play on the same side. Two Japanese players. I think there's like a lot of connection and natural chemistry that's going on. Just like by like how these guys like sort of relate to each other and pass the ball. I mean, when they know where to look for each other. And they look really organized in a way that I did not expect. I did not expect the Pansel to come into the season and perform this way. Fagundes is the one like steady player I would have expected this from. Everybody else is like just like gelled in a way that is new to me. Gabriel Pech isn't even playing yet. Their record signing, or not record signing, but their biggest signing the season for sure. Two or three. So Pansel taking the goal early. Jovlich puts him down. Jovlich and Puig rich after halftime. So it's 3-0. It's kind of dead. Preston Judd, former LA Galaxy player, gets one late in the 70th minute. But San Jose just looks impotent, and LA Galaxy just looks like gelling. I don't say beyond that.
Yeah, San Jose has been very, very unimpressive to start the season. And LA, when we were doing like rapid fire a couple weeks ago, I said bad out of just like instinct. I don't know what I was fucking thinking. I don't know why I was thinking that the Galaxy would be bad.
Because they've been so, like, last season, like, trying to deal with their GM firing, right? Mm-hmm. I think the transfer, like, sort of strategy in general has been really scattershot. And I think it was still scattershot this season. I think it was just, they've happened to hit.
Yeah.
There's scattershot transfers this time is kind of what it is, right? And I think a new coaching staff is gonna come in and help that a lot, so.
Yeah, I mean, good for them. I mean, they have a player that has the potential in the league in Ricky Pouge, who has been very good but not like quite there, and you're putting a talented team around him, which is what you need to do if you want to keep a talented player like Ricky Pouge. So, good for the Galaxy, bad for San Jose. Let's move out to Portland 2 DC 2. It's a fun one. The Timbers before this game got rid of their sponsor because their prior sponsor, my audio fucking skipping. How?
It wasn't that bad for a bit, but then it was.
All right. I'm going to let you talk about Dallas Montreal while I try to figure this out.
All right. So Dallas Montreal, right? The thing about this game is that home game for FC Dallas, right? Getting with a lot of new players, Musa coming in, big signing in midseason. Dante Sealy coming into the first team a little bit more after PSV. New formation as well. You expect a little bit more of them at home. Also, look, the CF Montreal team, new coach, right? You're not expecting these guys to gel so quickly in high press, kind of like what Mitch was talking about with Colorado Rapids. Like, what you expected Montreal to, like, struggle a little bit, have some, like, early gaffes, none of that is happening. This looks like a team similar to Galaxy where, like, 1 through 22 in the roster ready. Kelvin Opoku goes down in the 10th minute, 11th minute. They put on Jules Anthony Vilsaint, a guy I have never heard of, was not in the squad last week. Immediately scores a banger after a layoff, really nice layoff from Kakaro in the 20th minute, half volley from outside the box, laced in, and these guys just continue to like steady press. Dallas are probably the more talented team overall, you have to say, right? With like Yara Mendy in the midfield, Liam Fraser in the midfield, Kamungo. But like the combination play pressing kept Montreal in the game for large stretches of the first half, and Peter Musa scores a banger in the 45th minute off of a Bernie Kamungo sort of like knotted header after a, like knockdown sort of after a, I think it was a dead ball coming in off the left side. I don't know. Musa with a nice finish. And Vilsaint involved again to put Montreal 2-1 up on a Joseph Martinez goal. I can't even say his name associated with Montreal because like what the hell is he doing here? I forgot he even moved here. 60th minute, but he's still kicking, comes in as a sub. Cheeky's poacher's finish, and that's how it finishes, 2-1 for Montreal. This Courtois-led team, this is Laurent Courtois, new coach. He's good. He's really, really good at putting guys together to know their role, I think, and they've looked established, like, already.
That is great for Montreal. And yeah, it's weird, Joseph Martinez is in their colors. Am I still skipping?
No,
you're good. All right. Let's talk about Portland. They got rid of their sponsor, and now their jerseys look weird. They were very cool, and now they look kind of naked because there's like a large white gap that's very weird. But this was a pretty fun game. I'd like to highlight two players from it, and it's the two new arrivals for both these teams. Stroud, I thought, was pretty bright for DC, and Krupo was pretty bright for Portland, their goalkeeper. Even though he conceded two goals, he was still pretty good for Portland because I felt like DC was very, very good in this game. They opened in the Timbers opened in the 17th. They doubled their lead in the 60th against the run of play because DC had a bunch of chances leading up to that. And then Portland could like lose this or lose points in this game because they give away a penalty from one of their players raising his hand to appeal for offsides, and it hits his hand up there, which is the funniest way to concede a penalty, because what the fuck are you doing? VAR is a thing. You don't need to do that anymore. We're not in the 1920s anymore. Like, what are you doing, man? So a very funny way for Gary Neville to drop points. Phil Neville. Wrong Neville. Yeah, very stupid play from Portland. And I was once again impressed with how DC are moving. I thought they played pretty decent in this game, despite conceding two goals.
Yeah, and you know, game time goal from Christian Fletcher coming back from Swansea, you know, under 23s, a kid who's really highly touted. I think trained with Dortmund for a little bit, DC area kid. He was over playing for Swansea, right, their affiliated club, and he was just putting up crazy numbers in the PL, not the PL2, but like the Champo, the second tier under 23 level. And they were like, that's a dog shit level, even though he's scoring 15 goals like in half a season. Like, we're not going to put him up in the first team. Probably should have been there. Swansea should have kept him. I don't, whatever. But glad he's here. Glad they're playing the kids. Akinboni maybe gets some games late in the season too. We'll see. Yeah, happy for DC.
All right. Moving on to the last game of the weekend. It was a thriller. Toronto got their first win of the season. away to New England. New England had a very weird new tradition at the beginning of the game where they threw a ceremonial tea crate. It could have been way better executed. Like the fact that I think it honestly could have been cool if it was like an actual thing that like exploded when it hit the field.
And that's like, what I'm fucking saying. Why the fuck is it a styrofoam? It's just a styrofoam cube. They just got a cooler from fucking Market Basket, Star Market, whatever grocery stores you have around here, and just tape.
Probably lawyers. Yeah. It probably is a safety concern if you have like a wood barrel like exploding on your field before the game.
Oh, the Timbers have a chainsaw funny. After every goal.
Wait, it's after a goal?
The Timbers?
Oh yeah, no, they have a chainsaw. Yeah, after every.
Yeah. What? Yes. Yeah. Like, what safety concerns do we have about like a box?
Come on. I don't know. They don't own the stadium. No, they do. They're craft owned. I don't know. I have no idea why it's so weird. Maybe they'll improve it at some point. At least like maybe have like a kiddie pool or something you're throwing it into. Have some water. I don't know. You can improve it in some way. Insigne scored for Toronto in this game, and it was the only goal of this game. And it was the only goal of this game because Sean Johnson was standing on his fucking head. Holy shit, what a performance from him for Toronto and got them the 3 points.
Yeah, he just once every blue moon, he puts together a crazy ass game where he just jumps all over the field. You know, even at his age, like now, like old Wiley veteran, he still got that agility, that flexibility. I gotta give it up to Bernadeschi though, assisting Insigne. Are they back?
Are they homies?
No.
Did Insigne lend him a jewel pod or something? Like, I don't know. Maybe. that might have been enough for the Italians to start getting along. They went to Dubai. Yeah.
Yeah, exactly.
Well, that's all the games for this weekend. What a week. What a week three of our second week of MLS. We'll be back next week with an NWSL preview because NWSL is back, not this weekend, but next weekend. And that is all very exciting. We got more MLS games for you. Thank you
MLS
for listening.
All-star game announced, by the way, against Liga MX All-Stars.
Yes. Thank you. I forgot to write that down. Absolutely right. That is very cool. That is my preferred all-star game format. I think that's more fun than playing against like a European team.
Yeah, and I think it's right before Leagues Cup too, so it's like a little Leagues Cup.
Yeah, little tasty,
little tasty vibe. Yeah, I think it's cool. You don't have to play Arsenal every year, you know.
Whatever. Yeah, absolutely. thank you all for listening. Remember to subscribe and leave us a rating or whatever you're supposed to do on podcasts. You know, keep an eye out for those the thing that Coach has been teasing for the last couple weeks. You know, keep an eye out for that. Thank you all for listening and peace.
Peace.
Ha! I take my shirt off. Work all day, hustle and pray. Got nowhere to go. Got to catch my sugar. My plantain sugar. My plantain sugar. My plantain sugar. Ah. Plantain, plantain.
Hey there! Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Save big money now on new siding from LP Smart Side at Menards. Update and beautify your home with your choice of 13 timeless colors of pre-finished engineered siding. It's durable and includes a Sherwin-Williams factory finish paint warranty that means no painting for years to come. View our entire selection of siding from LP Smart Side today. And don't forget to check out our flyer on Menards.com for all the great deals happening now.
Save big money at Menards.
For the ones who work hard to ensure their crew can always go the extra mile, and the ones who get in early so everyone can go home on time, there's Grainger. offering professional-grade supplies backed by product experts so you can quickly and easily find what you need. Plus, you can count on access to a committed team ready to go the extra mile for you. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.